Hi. Guilty is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right. The Bible doesn't condemn gays. Now, things are going to be happening because Christians don't seem to get it. Throughout history, the past 2,000 years in the age of Christians, before Christianity, there was another ball game going, and it took place. It changed when Jesus was born, and then he died on the cross for your sins. Something happened that's different. Because now you can go to Jesus and not cows or doves and stuff. You don't have to sacrifice or give offerings of some sort of grain and stuff. As you read the Old Testament, there's all kinds of sacrifice for sins and atonements and this and that and the other thing. And you have yearly sacrifices and on-the-spot sacrifices and all kinds of stuff. Blood was pouring pretty freely before Jesus. And then Jesus came and sacrificed, spilled his blood for your sins, and that was all that was needed for all time. It's able to forgive every sin. And from that point on, something different happened. But you have to make a choice. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And not just simply believe it as a quirk. Believe based in the Bible. Not based in any other. There is no other way. You cannot just have a whole bunch of stuff out there and decide there's many ways to go to heaven. There's just not. There's no other religion that will get you to heaven. But when you come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's Christ, you have to keep the Christness of Jesus. He is able to die and spill his blood, and his blood is able to forgive every sin on earth. But you have to accept this. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that God rose him on the third day. That when he was born from a virgin. Then you have to ask. It's a simple kind of prayer. When you talk to God or Jesus, that's prayer. No matter what anybody else kind of tells you, talking to God is prayer. Something about talking to God other than other gods is you have to sign it. You have to sign it in Jesus' name. Because through Jesus, God sees you as pure. If you don't go signing things in Jesus' name, then you're pretty dirty. And it's hard to look at you without seeing your filth. Doesn't matter how good you think you're living, you're filthy. So you sign things in Jesus' name. So when you ask for things, you say, God, I'm broke. Give me money. You know, we're greedy. We want some of this kind of stuff. He says, give me money in the name of Jesus. Well, it might be that your circumstances is a genuine, you weren't praying in greed, you weren't praying, it was a legit, and God will give it to you. I mean, you could pray for all kinds of stuff and not get it. And God's going to take care of you, and he's not going to give you what you're necessarily in things in your greed. But you might be amazed what God will give you. When you pray, you sign it with Jesus' name. God, heal me in Jesus' name. You can have gifts of the Spirit. You can lay hands on somebody and you can say, be healed in the name of Jesus. If you're going around and not signing in Jesus' name, your signature there, and you say, in the name of Jesus, then you're asking for trouble. One of the troubles are, you may confuse onlookers that don't know Jesus as, hey, any God will do. He said, be healed. You know, once you got the gift and it's working, you just got to look at somebody and they could get healed. That's possible. But the problem is, you need to take that effort to say in the name of Jesus. Now, somebody may touch you and get healed, and you didn't know it.
Well, you know, we're not talking about a lot of stuff, but if when you're in the conscious enough of state, when you're dealing with God and Jesus, remember, all the glory, God is glorified through Jesus Christ. It's Jesus all the way through. Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. Christ Jesus. Keep Christ in Jesus. Modern versions take Christ out of Jesus. You don't get to hear this Christ word very often. And the Christ part is the part that makes him God. It makes him the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior, and all of that. That's in the Christ part. The Jesus part makes him, he came and became man and died for your sins. So he's able to suffer. The Jesus part makes him your friend. The Christ part gives him the credentials to do all the sort of things that we believe that he is and does. Keep Christ in it. Read the King James Version. If you read modern versions, you've got 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions. If you're just going to read the prefix of Bibles that you've got, you're going to read somebody praising the Bible that you're reading. If you're going to go to a church and they're just going to say, use any convenient version to emphasize the message that they want to say, I don't care if they say it's from God or anything else. I've talked to pastors and say they don't care. They're going to use the version that best suits whatever it is they're talking about. And they don't need to ask God or anything else. The assumption is simply, you know, any Bible will do. Well, any Bible will not do. We're subject to conditioning. We can be trained by repetition. And, you know, we learn our language not because we go to school and learn it. We enhance our language by going to school and learn more words and so forth. But we don't learn it at all by any purposeful thing that we do. It is kind of a built-in factor that we are hearing our parents talk or whoever's around us for a long enough time. And, of course, they explain this and that and the other thing. But basically, all of a sudden, we just know we're taught. So this is a conditioning thing. We can learn stuff that we're not taking time to study. And when you're reading the Bible and it's a modern version, you're purposely studying it, but you're not purposely absorbing the subtle intentions of it, which is to condition your mind so when that man reveals himself as dictator of the world, whatever we're going to call him, Antichrist and all this other kind of stuff, the lawless one and so forth, when that day he comes in and basically announces he's dictator of the world in whatever words he's using, you'll say, you know, that really is Jesus after all. Because these qualities, that quality, and, you know, we were kind of, when we go back to our Bible, the modern version, well, it wasn't necessarily specifically clear on this issue or that issue or the other issue. So, yes, this guy actually can be. Even though we have this idea that this guy's going to be a trickster, he's supposed to be really good at first, and we love last days preachers. And we won't be fooled by the last day's events, you know. We think that, hey, we're Christians, we're going to hang in there. You know, you're perfectly set up to be conditioned to that when the facts come out, you actually will believe that that man over there just might be Jesus after all. Modern versions are something that is designed to attack your senses. And so things have changed in the past 2,000 years. So when we're doing anything related to God and Jesus Christ, it is the Bible. But, you know, we have one version today readily available that is solid enough that can be actually used and you're not going to get too messed up by reading it. We get messed up anyway because our pastors and everybody else around us is telling us everything we want to hear. And we ourselves want to be, you know, we're king, we're queen, we're the boss of ourselves, we're independent, no matter what else we think, you know, we think we got it right.
And if we don't got it right, well, we say, well, that's not too important because you got it right enough. And so it's really difficult in our day and age to really take in anything that goes against what we feel and like. And so you like the way your pastor tells and uses the Bible and the story of Jesus. That's why you go to that church. If you didn't like it, you'd go to a different church. But we just don't want to really pay attention. And this is really a strange thing. The actual reason that you really aren't paying attention is because there is factors that God has built into the situation. The nation of Israel has a built-in situation that's lasted 2,000 years. And that is, they cannot see whom they pierce. They can't see who he is. They don't believe it's who he is. The Bible tells us that in a moment they will see clearly whom they pierce. They will know he is their Messiah, Jesus Christ. It's Messiah after all. So this function is not something that only affects the race of the Jewish people or Hebrew people. Or if you convert over, you know, you have people converting to Judaism. It doesn't make you somehow have some feature that you could be separated out, as it were, could be the only one that can't see who meant they pierce. And so you don't see Jesus. You're in blindness for a season. This feature is human-wide. And so various things we are given blindness in until the time that that blindness is to be lifted. Concerning the last days, Daniel is told that there are certain things that we will not know until knowledge is increased. And we all know that this is being translated into being, that we've gotten pretty smart and we can go to the moon and stuff like that. And, you know, this might not be smart, but I mean, it means that we've kind of made life as we see it today. You know, push buttons here and there. You can see me on this TV, but we've got knowledge how to do it now. And then we'll know a lot more stuff, and we do know a lot more stuff. And so we're learning more of the revelations of the last days. But there are certain things that we still are kept in blindness, and the church is kept in blindness on a number of things. Mainly because the church, you, your pastor, people, human beings that come to Christ, want to be the boss. No matter how much you say you humble before Jesus, or any of these kind of words that make it seem like that you're a decent person, that you're going before Jesus, and if Jesus is the boss, as it were, and you will definitely seek to glorify him and all that. We seek our own glory. We're human. We this is our nature. Forgiven or not, we are out and about to seek our own glory one way or another. To one level or another. We want to pat ourselves on the back and say we accomplished this. We don't use these words. We just simply are in our back of our mind. We're right, you know. The other person is wrong. You got to be wrong because I can't be wrong. So this is the way of Christianity. We go to church, we amen the pastor, and we go home and we decide which part of it that we want to believe or not believe. Some of us go to church, love it all, but we go home to our astrology, we go home to our yoga, we go home to our other gods, which are distinct enough, not mysterious. Yoga, you got chants and everything that calls forth other gods. This is not a mystery. These are facts about yoga. But yet, you know, these days, now we're letting the doctors and all that alternative stuff is getting more and more on the news. This is how when you go to school, these types of things are implemented in the classroom to help the students be more
able to learn quicker and peaceful and even as much as meet their spiritual guide in some cases. But we don't care too much about that. We don't want to pay attention. So we go to church and we amen, all that stuff. We go home to lots of other kind of stuff that may be a direct link to other gods. You can't pick and choose a little bit. You can't say, well, I could do some of the exercises of yoga, for instance, and not get too deep in it. So you've got control again. So this is our nature. We want to do it ourselves. I'd rather do it myself. And God knows this. So he set up things that will block us from taking his glory. We're up in and about taking the glory of God for ourselves. And so we're blind about certain things. And we're blind about the last days. Because we are so swept up in that we will not go through much of the tribulation. When actually, we'll go through at least half of it. Did you hear me? We're going to go through at least half of the tribulation. And this is going to confuse a lot of you because you don't think that this is possible. Right now, you say nothing can change you from Jesus. Well, how about 1,260 days of the tribulation when you think that you should have 0 days of the tribulation? You know, this is going to be pretty shocking to your system and your ability to think spiritually. Because you'll believe with all your guts that this shouldn't have happened. So Jesus had to lie, because didn't Jesus say, is it in the Bible that we won't go through any of this? Well, no, the Bible doesn't say we will not go through. The Bible says we will go through. See, what it is you're taking the glory from God for yourself. And God has set a time to take it back. He's letting you do things for a moment. 2,000 years, in fact. Then he's going to start doing something. I almost call it spanking. You can call it chastisement. There's some bits of punishment involved in here if you get all the wordings of the Bible and various sources of confirmation to these wordings and the meanings of words in the Bible. There is a punishment factor, but also God wants you to get with it, so he's not just punishing, he's correcting. But sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. 1,260 days is not going to be a very fun time. It's going to be painful. You're going to see lots of loss of loved ones in very devastating ways. And people, this blindness is set into you so you can accept the things that is going to lead you to accept Antichrist. Because about 2/3 of Christianity is going to turn their backs on Jesus. And Jesus knows this, and there is a preparation for this. There is an army of people that are sort of held back from their real task, their real calling. They are sort of in blindness to their calling. So they're doing lots of stuff trying to figure out this calling bit. But it will become clear in those days. And they are an army prepared to go find you and try to talk you back into, you know, hey, you know, this is the situation. You are going to go through there. God loves you. He didn't leave you. Jesus is still with you, even though it doesn't feel like it anymore. They'll say what words are to try to reach out to you and bring you back into the fold. It's still going to be your choice. You can completely turn your back on Jesus and not go to heaven. There's lots of verses that always tell about that. All these people of God and turning their backs on him time and time again. You can choose to turn from God. Nobody can take you from Jesus. Jesus will not forsake you. And there's only one person
that can keep you from Jesus, and that's yourself. By willfully choosing to turn your back on Him, you think right now this is not possible. Why? Because you've got this blindness on. You've got these big blinders on. You can only see what's in front of yourself, as in your pastor saying this and that. You read modern versions and stuff. Even if you're reading King James Version, you're still having the people around you that are teaching you and talking about it, and your own belief you ain't going to go through the hard times of the tribulation, so that you will be shocked when these things happen. There's going to be another event that's happened, which is taking the water away. You know, the two witnesses will stop the rain. Now, you can think what you want about this kind of thing, stopping the rain, but it's not just that it's raining in the sky. This water, this rain, is a feature Christians have to make them feel saved, to make them feel like Jesus is there, to make them feel this thing so that they can say they believe they're saved. This will be removed. So suddenly you won't have any of this, and you have to go totally on faith. We like to say we live on faith. And maybe we've gone through some hard times, and it does definitely seem like faith is what we're living. But we've always had that connection to Jesus. It's like a wire. You're plugged in. Direct connection to Jesus. You're going to be unplugged by the two witnesses. And you've got to operate on your own. And this is called faith. This is the true faith. This is the total faith. Because the attacks of Satan are going to be on your five senses. They're going to make your eyes, your nose, your ears, your touch, your smell, everything is going to really think that he is God. They're going to do scientific things, technological things in it. It's going to prove to you that it's got to be God. Even though you know a little bit about science, it's still going to baffle your mind considerably. And you're going to think that man over there is Jesus after all. You're going to be tricked. And you need to understand Jesus is the Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did not leave you. He died for your sins on that cross. He's the Son of God, born of a virgin. You need to keep this in mind. When these days happen, when somebody gets up there and starts telling you things that seem shocking to you, as though that they're speaking direct from God, and you hate what they say because they're shocking against everything you ever thought of, you see, Antichrist is going to kind of go along with you, and he's going to blend you over easily, but the two witnesses are going to come right down to the point and say, this is where you're wrong. You're wrong about this topic, you're wrong about that topic, you're wrong about this other topic, and you better get straightened out on it, or you're in a lot of trouble. And if you don't get straightened out about it, then you're really going to believe Antichrist, and Antichrist's ways are going to be a lot better than God's ways. And you're going to turn against God and fight Him. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to Him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And then God rose you the third day. Forgive me my sins and come into my life. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now, you need to read the King James Bible. If you want to know why, study Westcott and Hort. See you next week.